feel it burning deep in my soul. I know it's time for me to go.
Welcome to Publish or Perish FM, social selling in the age of content marketing. This is the podcast for innovative and skill-seeking sales leaders and CMOs. Here's your host, Jeff Leo Herman.
Hey, it's Jeff, and welcome to episode 16 of Publish or Perish FM. Today is Friday, February 5th, 2016, and I am thrilled to be here with you today. Because our goal together is to work on leveraging content, technology, and data to drive results for our business. So we're going to jump in and focus on three things today. First, what's the most meaningful thing we did this week to drive scale? Second segment, I had an epic fail this week. I'm a little embarrassed to share it with you, but I will just to see if you think it's a big deal, but pretty embarrassing, but I'll share it anyway. And then third, our transformation segment, we're continuing to level up the social selling maturity curve. We're going to focus on level two today. And I'm really thrilled to tell you, I discovered one word this week that actually completes the model. It fulfills the model. It makes it very compelling. So look forward to sharing that with you in segment three. All right, so let's jump in. What's the most meaningful thing we did to drive scale this week? And something we're constantly finessing, but made some more adjustments, is our lead scoring model, or otherwise known as our revenue cycle model in Marketo parlance. We're a great partner and user of Marketo. And we're finessing our lead score. And why do you finesse the lead score? It's simply the act of prioritization, right? And productivity. So how do we pass the right leads with the best data to our sales team so they can be highly productive and not waste their time with leads that are not ready to go? So when we talk about tweaking the lead scoring model, so we tweak not only their behavioral characteristics, what's their digital body language, for example, what emails did they open, what web pages did they visit, what white papers did they download to get a sense of their readiness. Then we also tweak the demographic characteristics, things like job title, email address, anything we can do to get an understanding of not only their interests and intent from a behavioral standpoint, but who they are and are they qualified? And so in the spirit of qualification, that tweaking, that constant finessing is really valuable, and not only assigning points to positive actions, but we actually have a degradation model too, where we take away points if we see things like a Yahoo email address or even, you know, students seeking information, which, you know, that we're constantly being hit by that and love to share that content with students, but of course they're not appropriate leads to pass to sales. So that tweaking of lead scoring model is an ongoing effort. And if you ever want to chat about lead scoring models and how to tune them up, I'd be happy to do that with you. We have a lot of great team members that can give you deep insight into that process. So I recommend that as a really critical and meaningful activity to drive the scale of your sales operation, always. Another quick thing, I just have to add a quick aside here while I'm thinking about it. I did a Blab session yesterday, and Blab, of course, is the live video platform online, in which it's like an online talk show, blab.im. And one quick tip for any of those doing blabs out there, I was on a blab session with two of my colleagues, and one thing to mention is lighting and camera angles. Now, we're not talking studio quality lighting and film ready lighting, but two things to consider if you're going to do a blab, right? And this is for any of you out there that are planning on doing a blab session, either hosting one or participating in one. Put your laptop on a box or something so the camera is literally at your eye level. And you want to have a straight shot onto your face because it's just the best camera angle, either straight on or a little above. So just put it up on a box. I had my laptop on a box, so I tilted the screen straight. And then lighting, of course, is important. And you know, while some may have studio quality lighting, just make sure that there aren't any really weird shadows or weird glares. But those are just two quick tips. I had to mention that I'm going to pass along to my colleagues, but that's really important because Blab and live video streaming and those live engagements are great because not only are they a way to engage a live audience, but of course, you download the video afterwards, do a teeny tiny bit of editing and pop it up to your YouTube channel, and there you have perpetual content flow. So just quick thoughts if you're going to do a Blab session. All right, so let's move on to the second topic of the day. And this is kind of embarrassing for me to share. It's my epic fail. It's even demoralizing. I'm not sure where to go with this, but so set up to this, right? Our goal here, and the goal I've had for many years, is how to elevate the sales profession because you want to take a position of authority and you want to be a resource and a trusted advisor to your prospects and customers. And something I've ranted about for years is what's the best way to gain authority? It's publishing, right? So the argument has always been, the debate has always been, should salespeople blog? And that's the standard way of publishing is blogging and writing. And I've had this debate with Jill Conrath, had it actually a couple years ago at Dreamforce. She's opposed, and many people are opposed to salespeople writing and blogging for several reasons. It just takes a ton of time. It's to do it well, it takes a lot of time, and it's probably time better spent on the phone or meeting with clients. And I tend to agree with that, but I still have to say that how do you gain authority? How do you scale your knowledge and expertise? You do have to publish, and of course, my alternative, instead of writing, and I'm a frustrated blogger, a frustrated writer, you know, always using video and audio platforms. So I've recognized the fact that writing's difficult, and I pivoted to start producing video and audio programs like this audio program here in the spirit of just sharing knowledge and sharing some expertise and just engaging with everyone out there. So in fact, when I started to use video, I started to use video pretty aggressively about a year ago. My content output has grown 5x. So I have a much heavier volume of content output because I've pretty much solely, you know, focus on video production and short videos with a concise message. And it's really helped increase my output. And it goes without saying, you still need to post that somewhere, right? So not only do you post it up on YouTube, but you can embed it in video in your blog post or in your Pulse post. And guess what I did? Had a big giant typo in a headline on a Pulse post this week. It was very embarrassing. So late Friday night, I posted, basically did a lot of production work. I fell asleep on the couch watching Rocky IV. I think it was the Ivan Drago episode. Where he beat up Apollo Creed. I woke up and just had a lot of energy. So I ended up publishing the podcast, publishing a YouTube video, and publishing the Pulse post. And 2 days, I was thrilled, right? And I, you know, took about 2 hours, but I got it done. 2 days later, I get an email from one of my colleagues. Hey, Jeff, you have a typo in your headline. And I was like, oh, I can't believe it. I spelled curve wrong. I literally, big giant letters, I misspelled curve, giant typo in the headline, and it's embarrassing because literally I also have in the can an interview I recently did with Lindsay Boggs on quality over quantity and being precise and careful in your content production, especially as it relates to writing. So I got bit by my own advice where I literally was rushing, not paying attention, not committed to quality, and I published a post with a big giant typo. And so definitely eating crow from that standpoint. But, you know, a question for you, how important is it? So are you willing to trade off if it's great information and great content, but it's a little sloppy, but you still get the point? Does that matter? And how important is precision and high quality as relates to writing? I'd love your feedback. I'd love your opinions. You know, email them to me at jeff@publisherparish.fm. Love to hear what you say about it. But, you know, we're going to listen to that interview with Lindsay right now. And then I'm going to eat some crow while we're doing it.
So I have a question for you about building your personal brand.
Yeah.
Do you favor, so we all have a bias for action, right? We all, that comes with our DNA. And we all jump in. And content production is critical because it really, you know, raises your visibility, sets you up as a thought leader. And I saw a great piece of content today from a mutual friend of ours, who I won't say. Okay. But it's riddled with typos. And I appreciate his effort and energy and getting good information out there. And this, Jill Conrath warned me about this a couple of years ago, because I've been ranting about salespeople blogging for years now. And I personally don't even write that much. I use video. Like. So our good friend, our mutual good friend, had a really cool post profiling other individual sales thought leaders. But there were like typos like crazy, poor use of possessive noun, you know, just. So what do you feel like? Do you feel like content, just get the content out there and deal with the messiness and deal with, you know, some typos? Or do you think it has to be really tight?
Was I in the article?
No.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think I know exactly which one you're talking about. And no, I would rather have quality over quantity. And like, for instance, I could write probably an article every single day if I had the time, but I don't. So what I do is I really make an effort to do 2 a month. And that way it's thoughtful and it's not just me putting a bunch of words together and I judge all the time.
Sure. It's, and that's, you know, look, our job is to generate meaningful conversation, but I'm with you 100%. And look, we all make little mistakes. Like I catch myself, I had an error in my LinkedIn summary that a colleague of mine caught. I had two twos, T-O-T-O twice. And I flipped out. I was like, oh my God, but you miss things. But then, yeah, if you're cranking out content and it's like literally in the first paragraph, there's three typos, it's bad.
I actually, in one of my articles, my friend caught it in the first 10 minutes, thank God. But I actually put corporal ladder instead of corporate ladder. So I'm like suddenly in the army.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm glad she caught that. But yeah, I'm totally with you on that.
All right. Thanks. We're back. So what do you think? Inept maneuver if you publish a post with a typo in it? Love to hear your thoughts. Please, like I said, hit me up and let me know what you think. All right. So last segment here, segment three, let's keep going. Leveling up the social selling maturity curve. That's a model that we introduced last week. We also have a partner YouTube video with it. It's on my YouTube channel and it's also here embedded in the show notes. But to set the model up again, so we know that LinkedIn's social selling index is a great scoring model to determine how effective you are at actually using LinkedIn Sales Navigator. But it, and you know, this is our friend Larry Levine said here via LinkedIn comment last week. You know, it doesn't do a lot to really help elevate sales or to really drive in and dig in to talk, you know, to support sales coaching specifically, other than things you should do. So we developed the social selling maturity curve as a very coachable, a model that helps, you know, coach your team members on specific things they can do to evolve and transform into that trusted advisor. And I'll use the key word that I mentioned earlier on in the open, authority. And how do you become an authority in your space? And that's the single word that completes the model. So once again, to review, this model is how to scale revenue and how to scale relationships. Of course, you have revenue on the y-axis, relationships on the x-axis, and we have four levels in the model. And of course, we always want to be up and to the right. First level, close to the origin, is the observer level, which we covered quite a bit last week, otherwise known as stalker. Second level is participant. And we know participants, everyone gets a trophy, but no one's a winner. So we, of course, want to push through that level. Level three is curator, and level four is creator. And the key word I mentioned, authority. Once you start moving from level three into level four, you truly become an authority in your space and you take a position as an authority in your space. And you build trust and credibility as an authority in your space. And you do that through publishing. So we're going to focus, and I have to say, the word authority is a word that my friends over at the Rainmaker Digital and the Rainmaker FM series of podcasts, they use. They have an authority conference. They use the word authority as it relates to content marketing. And they two of their podcasts this week covered the term authority and really looked at the showrunner specifically, my friends Johnny and Jared, looked at the difference between celebrity and authority, and that authority is what we're really seeking. And so that word, I have to give them all the credit, the Rainmaker guys, on the word authority, because it does complete our model, because that's really what we're striving to be, right? If you're a level four creator, you are creating content to take the position of an authority. And if you're an authority of your market, people look to you for your knowledge and expertise, and that leads to great commercial outcomes, right? So that's the reason why we're here. But like I said, we're still going to dig into level two, right? So let's focus on level two. We're going to work through over the next couple weeks how to get up to level four as a creator to build that final authority and to maintain that authority. So level two, last week we started with level ones and focused on how to get to level two. We're going to take the journey from level two to level three today. So level two, once again, as a participant. And participants, they comment, they like, they share. They use tools like LinkedIn Sales Navigator, which, by the way, if you want to score just a way to validate level twos, if you look at LinkedIn's social selling index, the third attribute of their social selling index is called engage with insights. It's roughly the same thing we're talking about. But our model is much more actionable and focused on coaching. So if you're a level two and you're a participant, you are leveraging the tools like LinkedIn Sales Navigator, like building Twitter lists. And I hope you use TweetDeck or other tools, Hootsuite, to build Twitter lists and to load your prospects and customers up and just to watch what they're saying and learn more about them. So that process, that exercise is great because it builds a degree of knowledge and understanding of your prospect and customer. It encourages you, you know, it takes practice and commitment to do this, but this monitoring process encourages you to actually watch the feed and learn about their interest and intent. Lots of people reveal lots of things via social media, and even if they're not revealing, the way they set up their profile is revealing and it gives you things to engage on. So level two participants, that's once again, that's to be a social seller at a level two as a participant, where all you're doing is commenting, liking, and sharing. That's fairly easy. There are low barriers to entry. Basically, everyone can do it. And as we discussed last week, comments, likes, and shares basically evaporate into the timeline. While they may spark interest and build the initial, the tiny, you know, minor elements of an initial relationship or give you an opportunity to catch someone's attention, there's really nothing durable or sustainable about always and only commenting, liking, and sharing. And the risk you have here, if your team members are sitting at a level two and only commenting, liking, and sharing, social selling is getting more popular. More and more teams, like we get calls every day on our social selling models and how to help the team embrace and adopt social selling. And the more that sales members and sales representatives get on and use social selling, the more crowded the feeds will get, and it's going to be harder and harder to stand out. So I encourage us today to really keep moving up the model to level three and level four, because it's going to get very busy out there, as if it's not busy enough already. But from a social selling standpoint, using things like LinkedIn Sales Navigator, they have aggressive growth goals. They're encouraging people to comment, like, and share. We're taking it to the next level here because we want to help you stand out and build that authority once again. That keyword authority keeps coming back. So that's the point, right? And so we have a great understanding of what level twos are. That's kind of the standard training from the great folks that love the team at LinkedIn, Sales Navigator, Sales Solutions. But that's the standard method is to onboard, is really just focus on comments, likes, and shares. We need to get up to level three. Ultimately to level four. Level threes, of course, we defined as curators. And curators are really when you take the time to structure content specific to your ideal clients, to your prospects and customers. And I have two tips, two specific things to recommend in this area. How do you start building a plan to get into the curation mode where you're presenting content, presenting helpful content on a consistent basis? One tip is use Storybase. And Storybase is a great site. We've been using it here for a little bit. And literally you type in a term and it gives you all the standard questions asked about that term. So it just provides additional insight or provides areas of interest that people typically have when they're asking questions or seeking information online. So that's good context around helping you focus on what areas to look for information, look for great supporting articles. But more importantly is if you are going to get into curation mode, and once again, we'll jump into this deeply next week. When you do curate content, it's critical to set the behavioral expectation and deliver that curated information the same day and the same time every single week. And building that behavioral expectation with your prospect or customer builds that degree of relationship. So if they're getting knowledge and value from you every Thursday at 4, they come to expect that knowledge of value. And we've, of course, talked about our friend Kareem in the past around how he hit me every Friday at 5 on a consistent basis for many, many months. I came to expect an email from him because I knew it was time to go home at that point. My wife would be calling soon. And one day he stopped and it freaked me out. As a word, Kareem go. So we've covered that story before, but that's what's really critical on the path to being a curator. So next week, we're going to really dig in to how to structure a curation strategy. What can your marketing team do to support sales in a curation strategy? Compiling information, compiling relevant articles and content, even providing good tips or anecdotes to support that curation strategy. So that'll get us up to level 3, of course, as we take our journey towards, once again, building authority. And authority is the ultimate position that we seek. You have to earn authority. Of course, you can't just capture authority. You have to earn it through hard work and being relevant and providing great information. So, and I know we're all certainly capable of that, because in sales and marketing, we're all experts in our areas of focus. We have lots of knowledge to share. We don't have to write, of course. We can use video and audio platforms to scale our, just leverage our strengths and scale our charisma. And that's once again towards the goal of building authority. All right, so we will dig into that and continue working up the model next week. And it's time to wrap it up. So as always, I would love, if you find this information valuable and this content helpful, I would love if you would subscribe on iTunes. Please hit the subscribe button. And please, I'd greatly appreciate leaving a rating and review. And if you just click the stars, that's how podcasts get discovered in iTunes, is simply by leaving ratings and reviews. And the more you get, the more you are surfaced effectively from the algorithm. So would greatly appreciate a rating and review. And would love your feedback too on, of course, how bad is it that we had a giant typo on our headline over the weekend? How many people saw it? How many people think less of somebody that has typos in their post? Great question. Let me know what you think. And also, this movement up the social selling maturity curve from level 2 to level 3. Love to hear what tips and tricks you use towards that strategy of building authority. So as always, feel free to email me at Jeff, J-E-F-F, at publishorperish.fm with your feedback. That's my personal blog. It's where I host the podcast. And have to say it, right? Hope we all think like marketers and sell like animals. Cheers. I'm on my belly full. I will not go to my grave with this inside of me. Well, I'm an animal and I can feel the pull. It's time to open my cage and see who I can be.
now create my own state. I'm the one with the power to dictate my own fate. Persist to exist. I make a list of the egos in my life I must dismiss. Battling.